And God has given me something to share with you. Let's pray. Precious Lord, we thank you, we bless you for today. We exalt your name for the great and the wonderful things that you do for us. I pray and I commit myself into your hands, O Lord, that you take absolute control over everything that I'm going to share. I know that, Lord, you are with us. You guide me so that everything will be a blessing and successful. We thank you for always answering our prayer. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we have all prayed with thanksgiving. Amen. Yeah, like we have read, Pastor Paul has already started sharing this epistle with us. And today we're going to continue from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. And it's about unity. And we talk about some elements in unity. And remember, already we have those elements. Paul is just encouraging us to preserve those elements and put them into practice. So today we speak on the topic, let us live in unity. Let us live in unity. I'm sorry we couldn't project it. Maybe next time we do that. But still, I'm going to make my points so clear so that everyone can follow me. Yeah, like we read, we're going to talk about five main points because it's a long passage, but I'll try to not waste so much time. Preach about five main points. Number one, how to keep the unity. That is verses 1 to 3. How to keep the unity. Number two, why this unity? Verses 4 to 6. Number three, the gift for the unity. The gift for the unity. Verses 7 to 10. And the number four, second or specific calling for specific ministry. That is verse 11. And the last point, why all these gifts? Why all these gifts? You see, if we really follow what we read, Paul was talking about love. And remember, it's God who first showed us his love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever will believe in him will never perish but have eternal life. You see, in spite of everything, it wasn't easy. I believe it wasn't easy for Jesus Christ. But because of love that he had for you and me, he came. He became so obedient to his Father, and he came just to die to save you and me. Jesus loved hard-hearted people. Jesus loved disobedient people. Jesus loved every kind of person because first he wanted to show us as his love. And he loved even the oppressed. And he continued to love us. He loves us. Even today, he still continues to show his love to you and me. So Paul is saying that before we can be so united, these are the steps. Number one, we need to show love. When we are not able to show love among ourselves, unity may not prevail. So love. What else again? Paul talked about, I've told you, I'll be running a little bit fast. Paul also talked about gentleness and long-suffering. I'm still on verses 1, 2, 3. Gentleness and long-suffering. What is gentleness? Gentleness is about meekness. And meekness is not somebody who is weak. If somebody is meek, he's not so weak physically. Oh, let's say spiritually. He's powerful. So if you see somebody, that person is so meek, it doesn't mean that he's weak spiritually. A meek person, most of the time, turns so many issues into prayer. A prayer that moves mountains. Prayer that brings revival. Prayer that brings unity. Prayer that can calm every storm. Prayer that can bring power. Prayer that can bring great revival in the church. So this is what Paul is just telling us. Paul is saying we need unity in the church. So if we need unity, we must be meek. You can be aggressive sometimes. I can be aggressive. But this is what Paul is telling you and me exactly here, that we have to be meek and long-suffering. Be patient. Most of the time, Paul is saying that we have to be patient. Hello? I believe you're following me, right? Yeah, I want you to follow me. So follow my points. Just follow me. And he said that bearing with one another. We have to bear with one another. Brothers and sisters, let us bear with one another. Of course, we may have our differences, right? That's what I've been telling Pastor Paula. Pastor, this job, you need more prayer. Because maybe the way I was trained in Ghana somewhere is different. And sometimes, whether we like it, if taking you, I've really studied in the New Testament. If you really study the church, you realize that most of the time, people will bring a kind of culture into the church. If you take your time, you study the Bible. I know you've done it, so you bear with me. So, all kinds of differences may come. But Paul is saying that we need to bear with one another. Hello? See, the last time in 2004, after I completed my seminary, in 2001, so 2 years, I had an invitation, I went to the U.S. And I didn't know that in the U.S. they have black church, white church. I praise God that we worship together. Amen. And I preach in a church in a place called Richmond in the U.S., the capital of Virginia. So it was a black church. So after, I'm somebody who likes asking questions. So after we closed, I preached that day. So I went to the pastor, Dr. Lee. I said, Pastor, I know, you know the historical background of this. It's clear. But I think it should not continue. So I went to the pastor. Why do you have black church and white church? If Christ has brought us together, why is it that it's like the blacks are doing their own things and the whites are doing their own things? Why is it that you don't worship together? I tell you, he couldn't give me any convincing answer. So I went to another white church and I asked the pastor the same thing. Pastor, I don't understand. Why is it that the blacks and the white are not worshiping together? If we believe that Christ has brought us together, why is it that we don't cooperate? We don't come together? What is the problem? The pastor also couldn't give me any answer. You see, yeah, the culture has come in, but Paul is saying that we need to bear with each other. It doesn't matter our differences. If Christ has really brought us together, we must throw away our differences. We must not be bringing... I mean, it's all about Jesus. I like one of the songs that everything revolves, just go around Jesus Christ. So for me, I don't care. If only you know, I was telling somebody that, somebody asked me, Pastor, why is it that Jesus Christ, dressed like that kind of Muslim kind of thing? And today we don't dress like that. And I said, you know what? It's about culture. Because that is the culture. What is culture? The way people dress, the way we eat, the way you use machines, all that. That is culture. So that is where Jesus was born. So practically, he just took, copied, he used to dress the way the people there were dressing. So it doesn't mean that we need to be, it doesn't matter. For me, whatever, if only, it doesn't matter. If only everything just around Jesus Christ, and everything that we're doing is theologically sound, everything that we're doing is biblically sound, and ethically sound, and it doesn't abuse anyone, I don't care. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. Because, you know, I have copied the European. In Ghana, we don't dress like this. We have our cloth, beautiful cloth. I remember in the U.S., somebody, you know, there was a funeral. You know, we have our special cloth for funeral. And it's like a bed sheet, you know. So we put it on like this. And somebody was asking, what's wrong with you? Why are you putting on bear sheets? I say, my friend, be careful. It's not a bear sheet. It says the way we dress. Your dressing is different, and our dress is different. So don't say it's bear sheet. It's not. So we don't. Bear sheet is bear sheet. Bear sheet is for a bed that we lie on, that we sleep on. Am I sleeping here? I've just put it on. What's wrong with you? So if everything is just around Jesus Christ, I don't care. I'm so emphatic about not being, just preaching heresy. So serious. I'm so serious when your theology is something. Somebody was just teaching a kind of theology and say, we are God. Without any explanation. What kind of God are you? And he's telling me, anytime you go to church, this tie, this kind of. But if you read the word, as in 1st or 2nd Corinthians chapter 11, if you read verse 15, the Bible says that he has given you your head as a cover. What kind of cover do you want again? So if you are not preaching the right theology, I may not agree with you. However, if everything rounds around Jesus Christ, I'm okay with that. So before we can really be united, we need to bear with each other. Praise the Lord. But the problem is when somebody is from Africa, and Pastor Paul, every day I pray for him. It's not easy. Not easy, I'm telling you. If somebody is from Africa and I want my way of worshiping it, to dominate, or somebody is from Jamaica. I have a good friend here who's from Jamaica. I didn't mean you, my sister. Huh? She's over there, right? She's not here. Right. From Jamaica or Nigeria or whatever. It's about Christ. It's not, let the way, you see, I've told you everything. It's about Christ. Let's everything center on Christ. When everything centers on Christ, I tell you, we are going to have the victory of being united in the name of Jesus Christ. Let somebody say amen. Hallelujah. See, it's about Christ. It's about Christ. The next one we talk about is why this unity? Why do we have to be united in the church? Verses 4 to 6. Why this unity? Verses 4 to 6. My homiletics professor told me, when it's one verse, you say verse. So when I was writing, I think I was writing a script for somebody. And when you're writing verses, you write VV. Huh? So the person just cleared it. I said, next time I'll just share with the person. So a pastor will just write VV. It means verses. Huh? And if it's from two or more verses, you say verses. And the person will write VV. So verses 4 to 6. Paul is talking about one body and one spirit. If we are one body, then all those belonging to that body should have one heart and one spirit. At the moment we refuse to have the heart of Christ, But the heart of a Ghanaian, the heart of Nigerian, the heart, the problem rises. The problem comes. One body, one spirit. So we, the body of Christ, the body of Christ, if we are the body of Christ, that means that we need to have one spirit, one heart. Because one person, I don't think one person had two different hearts. Your heart is your heart. So if we are the body of Christ, then we need to have one heart to move on with the work of the Lord. When we don't have all these things, there wouldn't be any unity. We can never be united. We need the heart of God, the heart of Christ. That is what it should rule any one of us here. So that there will be great unity, great love for us to do God's work. But if nothing runs around Jesus Christ, it means that I'm going this way, Ghana people is going this way. I pray for my pastor all the time. It's not easy. When a church is a kind of multicultural church, sometimes the Ghanaians want to be the super. And this thing want to be the... You see, it's about Christ. It's about Christ. I like one of the songs that you sang. Actually, it was easy to sing. Jesus is the center. I love it so much. Let us make Jesus the center. If Jesus is the center and everything is theologically sound, everything ethically sound, you know, I was telling the pastor that, in fact, pastor, I read the message, this is a kind of doctrine and ethics. And anytime when you are dealing with doctrines and ethics, you got to be very careful. When you are dealing with doctrines and ethics, you got to be very careful. For example, in my country, I'm telling you, if you go to Ghana, you don't speak with your left hand like this. If you're speaking, hold the mic with your left hand. And then you can, you know, hands can also speak. I'm speaking, right? Yeah. So never do like this, because I'll explain to you later on. So I've given a kind of tips. So that is how it is. So I'm checking my time. All right. And it says, verses 4 to 6, we also see one hope. Our hope is in Christ. Christ in you. The hope of glory. You know the Bible. Clap for yourselves. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if we want to be united and Christ is our hope, then what is the problem? Unity is very, very important. Unity is very, 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 very important. And we are all hoping for where? And the last day for where? Heaven. You understand Bible. Clap for yourself, only you. Clap for yourself, my sister. Praise the Lord. We all want to go, we're hoping for heaven. So if we hoping for one heaven, why not be united? Because, you see, I read a story about John Wesley, that he had a dream, and he had died, and he had gone to heaven. And when he went to heaven, he was looking for his members of Methodist Church. He looked around here, there. He didn't see any member of the Methodist Church. So what? Look at the way I prepare my people by the grace of God. Why is it that I don't see any member, anyone, or anyone, or any of my members of the Methodist Church, or the members of the Methodist Church? You know, they were there, but he didn't see them. Because in heaven, there is no Methodist. In heaven, there is no Baptist. In heaven, there is no black. In heaven, there is no white. In heaven, there is no yellow. In heaven, there is no green. In heaven, there is no brown. We are all one in Jesus Christ. Let the saints say amen. Amen. We are all one in Christ. Because when Christ saves you, he saves you. Mm-hmm. I think Galatians chapter 3 or something. It said, in Christ, there is no Jew. There is no woman. There is no this, you know. So I went to a certain church, and the women were sitting here, and the men were sitting, and I asked the pastor a question again. I like questions anyway. Don't just bear with me. That's me. Praise the Lord. I said, why Christ has saved us? And the women are sitting here, and the men are sitting here. I'm for women all the time, because I believe that Christ, if Christ has saved you, my theology, you may not like it, but that's me. I'm not saying pick it. Praise the Lord. Why is it a woman cannot do a ministry? I don't bring theology, because when you're preaching doctrine, theology may come in, because I don't want to go there. Anyway, so one Lord, he is a Christ, the head of what? Of our church. Amen. So one faith, through one faith in grace, that we are saved by grace. So if we have one faith, and through that one faith, we are saved by grace, why we don't keep being united in the church? Hello? One God, who is Father. My professor in Canada, he was just teaching me about doctrine. It's a Baptist doctrine, you know. So he asked a question. Why is it that sometimes, I think I asked the question, yeah. Why is it that sometimes we say Father God, we don't say Mother God? Why not Mother God? We say Father God. And in my language, we call it Ajenyame and Ajenyan Kupon. We also say Father God. How do you say that in your language? Do you have, Zimbabwe, Mugabe? Do you say Father God in your language? Which is Father God? Good, my brother. Which is Father God? Yes, Liberia. Do you say Father God? Good. And how do you say it in your language? Oh, you have to go back. I'll send you back home. See, I hope you're okay with me, my brother. I'm just joking, eh? Right. Praise the Lord. See, we say Father God because we believe that he provides for us. That's why some of the, you know, we pay what we call unterhalt. I believe you understand this one better. Why is that? Is the fathers who pay this unterhalt? Unterhalt, am I right? Father, I've been learning this Dutch, but it's giving me a headache. Yeah. Unterhalt, right? Good. Why is that? Is the father who pays? Because he cares, no? So we believe that. We say Father God. He said God the Father. So the Bible is saying that God the Father, because he provides us. He provides for us. He cares for us. That's what Paul is saying, that God Father. Do you agree with me? So he does all those provisions. So from that perspective, you can understand God better. Amen. Amen. If you look at God, or if you understand God from that perspective, you can understand him better, what he can do for you. That's why most of us, we are paying on the heart. Because you are the Father. You need to provide. So, one faith. I think the time is okay. I'm so conscious of my time. Anyway, one faith, one God who is the Father. Amen. So, Paul says God the Father, we need to understand that he is a provider. He is a caretaker. He's the one, if the house is not all that in good situation, in good state, he's the one who has to provide almost everything in the house. That's why fathers would pay those things. And 7 to 10, the next point, 7 to 10, the gift for the unity. The gift for the unity. We try to do what we call exegesis. The gift for the unity. And if you read 7 to 10, he said, he gave many captive for us. I will explain it to you. He gave many captive for us. What does it mean? It means that Jesus Christ, before he ascended, he conquered the things that used to conquer us. For example, sin, death, evil, and all those things. So our Jesus Christ has conquered those things. And in, under this, under 7 to 8, he also talked about he gave gifts to us. You see, many of us are having a lot of gifts, but because most of the time we entertain a kind of fear, we think that still sin is controlling us. We think that still, oh, I cannot do it. We think that still, oh, I don't think this is what I can practice. We cannot use our gift for the building up of the ministry of the church or for edifying the church because of fear. But Jesus is saying that already he had conquered fear. He had conquered sin. He had conquered death. He has conquered the world. So my question is that, why is that by the faith or by faith, by the grace of God, you don't stand up and say, this is the gift that I have. So I am going to use the gift in the church for the edification, to build up, to help grow the church. Amen. Amen. Please, are you okay? Are you okay with my preaching? I hope I'm not offending you, eh? You're nice people. Let's clap for ourselves. Very, very nice people. I love you. Amen. So, amen. We like saying amen, eh? Okay, anyway, don't worry. You keep hearing my amens. So, you have something. Huh? There's a gift in you. You can sing. I've been saying that. You can play a keyboard. You can, if you want to sing, come and see my sister. If you want to sing, she's in charge. Give me permission to hold her hand. Permission granted? Permission granted. Yeah. So she's the one. If you can sing, come and see her. Whatever you want to do. My brother can play. My brother. He is my brother. He know how to play this guitar. So experts.
Like Martin Luther King?
Yeah, Martin Luther King. Yeah, had a dream, yeah. I had a dream. Thank you, my brother. So we should not let that fear take control, because Jesus is saying that, or God, Paul is saying that, Jesus had, conquered those things. So what is the problem? Why are you not ready to do something for the Lord? Now, I'll finish very soon. Verse 4:11 only. Pastors will call this expository sermon. Specific calling for specific ministry. I believe you're following me. Second stroke. Specific calling for specific ministry. He talked of apostle. Who is an apostle? Apostle is someone who is sent to spread the gospel, plant and govern churches. Who is an apostle? Apostle or apostles are those sent to spread the gospel, plant and govern churches. He talked about prophets. Prophets are those who foretell the things to come. Prophets, they are to foretell the things to come. He talked of evangelists. They are called specifically for soul winning. And he talked of pastor and teacher. A pastor, normally we combine the two because a pastor must be a teacher too. So if you are called a pastor, you also call as a pastor, a teacher. Because you cannot be a pastor without having the skills, ability to teach. Because pastoring is about teaching also. So a pastor or teacher, or a pastor is someone who is, and put try to, the way I understand it, who is a horizontal, the vertical rise, when I was studying my math, vertical rise over horizontal run, right? So I forget the maths. So what do you call it? A pastor is a horizontal head of the church. Horizontal, you know, among the people, he's the head, according to the Bible. So it means that Pastor Paul is my head. Hello? Praise the Lord. He's a head horizontally. And if you have this gift, for the sake of unity, God is telling you and me that we need to practice those gifts. Hello. I think the last point. Why all these gifts? Why? Why all these gifts? Verses 12 to 16. Number one, to edify the church. Number two, to be united in faith. Number three, to avoid deception, which tosses people here and there. Because the Bible was saying that because some of us, we are weak in faith, you know, we are being blown here because of heresy, bad teachings which are not good. And it happens to us. See, I want to tell you a story. I think I was going to India or somewhere. And on the plane, we got to a place, and I heard an announcement saying that, ladies and gentlemen, we are crossing the zone of turbulence. Please get back to your seat and fasten your bed. Thank you. Without a minute or two, oh my God, it was shaking like that. And that was my first time to sit on a plane. And I was shaking like this. Oh, what is going to happen? What is happening? I was holding the sister. And the sister, oh, what's the problem? And I said, my friend. So I was holding the seat just like that. I would say, and this, and here, there. You know, I was really afraid. You know, I began to pray. You know the prayer I prayed? You want me to tell you how I prayed? I remember the story of Jonah. And I said, God, this is the situation. Even if the plane will crash, let me fall into the hand of the mouth of a shark or a whale. So that the whale will just go and vomit me right at the seashore. So that I'll get saved. Lord, this is my prayer. Help me. What is this? Because I didn't understand that one. And that was the first time I boarded a plane. So I thought I was going to die. So I got down. When I was coming back, it happened to me the same way. So when I landed in Accra, Ghana, I look at the plane. I say, you plane. I was talking to the plane like a human being. This is your last time. This is your last time. I will never board you again. So when I came home, I just opened my dictionary and I just read about turbulent. And it was saying that, yes, we can go through that, but it's not something too dangerous. And that's why. So I decided not to even travel again. If I travel, maybe by car or bicycle in Ghana. If not, you wouldn't have seen me here today. Because it was serious. Actually, it's true. I decided not to board a plane because it was very, very, I didn't want to lose my life until I got to know about what is turbulence. And I was okay with that. What do I say here? What I mean here is that when wrong teachings are moving us here and there, it's very strong, very powerful. Very, very strong. We need to be strong, be faithful. Because look at the plane. When the wind You know, because Arendt was saying that when the place is so mountainous, you know, so very mountains, we can experience that. You know, because when the wind blowing us, as far as faith is concerned, if you are not careful, or if you are not strong in the Lord, you'll be moving here and there. You cannot be so strong on your feet. You cannot be so strong. And Paul is telling us that we need to be strong in the Lord. Amen. What else again? Why all these gifts? What else again? To stick to the truth only. To stick to the truth only. Let somebody say, only. Oh, you may not like it, but I'm just trying to bring in the way my style. Forgive me anyway. Anyway. So, to stick to the truth only. The next one, to speak the truth in love. You see, when you don't have the truth or you don't have love, you cannot speak the truth in love. It is when the love of Christ is in you that you can also show that love to others. So, you see, like I said it earlier, that we have all this love, all this gift already within us. But Paul is encouraging you and me that we need to preserve them. We need to put them into practice. So when we have the love, even the way we share the gospel, you see, Jesus loved the prostitute. He loved those who are stiff-necked. He loved hard-hearted people. He loved thieves. Because this is the love that I was just talking about. If you have the love of Christ in you, you can show it. So let's put everything into practice. Amen. Conclusion. Remember, today we talk about how to keep the unity. Don't forget. Number two, I preach about why this unity. Number three, the gift for the unity. Amen. And number four, specific calling for the specific ministry. Amen. Let us pray. Precious Lord, we thank you for your word. We really have a conviction that really you have spoken to us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. We pray that, Father, you let us keep every point that we heard so that we can remember everything. We need you to guide us. We thank you for always guiding us and helping us to move on with our ministry. We pray for the strong unity among us so that in the end, your name will be glorified. We thank you, Lord, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have prayed with thanksgiving. Amen.